Welcome to the Restoring Hope Church Sermon Podcast, where together we are encouraged, challenged, and empowered as we explore the Word of God and its relevance to our lives today.
We are beginning a new series today on the book of Colossians. And Colossians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church of Colossae, and the main theme of the letter is that Paul desires for all Christians to live a life worthy of the Lord, a life that is good and pleasing to God. And this word live can also be translated as walk. So we could say that we must walk a life that is worthy of the Lord. And since it's Mother's Day, it's hard not to think about the ways that babies mature and mimic and walk just like their moms do. They watch and they listen and eventually they begin to copy whatever their moms say and do. And then they grow into kids and continue to do these, especially little girls that want to dress up just like their mommy looks. And if you know my wife, then you know that one of her strengths is the ability to delegate tasks to people. And she is really good at seeing what needs to be done and finding someone to do it. Now, I have to keep telling myself that this is a strength. Because at home, it is really annoying. If I ever appear to not be busy, I get the, hey, since you're not doing anything, I need you to do this. So over time in our marriage, I eventually just always looked like I was busy. But Amy is smart, and so she changed her tactic, and so then she just waits strategically for me to stand up. Hey, while you're up, I need you to do this. But I keep reminding myself that this is a leadership strength that she has. But the worst part of it is now our middle child, Riley, has started to do it. I'll be in the kitchen and she goes, hey, daddy, while you're in the kitchen, can you get me something? Or, hey, daddy, since you're standing now, can you do this for me? Like mother, like daughter. Again, the main message of this letter that Paul writes is to walk like Jesus, to walk or to live worthy of the Lord. And he constantly refers back to this theme of how Christians need to grow and mature in their faith, doing the will of God in all situations, while avoiding the evil powers and the false teachings and the bad practices of the world. In order to stay true to the life of Christ, we must live worthy of the Lord. That is our mission in life. And Paul starts off with this in chapter 1, starting halfway through verse 9. Paul writes, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. He says that the people need to be filled with knowledge and wisdom and understanding so that they may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way. If our goal is to live a life worthy and pleasing to God, then Paul says that that happens when we are filled with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Think of it like a gas tank. If you fill your car with gas, then you can continue driving on your journey. And if we are filled with the Spirit, filled with the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding, then we can keep going on this journey to live like Christ. Simple enough. But there's a problem. There is a darkness around that makes it difficult. Paul says in verse 13, for he, talking about Jesus, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Meaning that at some point, people are in this dominion of darkness, and this dominion of darkness is holding people as slaves. Has anybody ever done one of those escape rooms? a few of you. Amy and I love to do them. And the concept of these escape rooms is that you're locked inside of a room and your goal is to get out. But in order to get out, you have to solve puzzles and riddles that are scattered throughout the entire room. It requires you to be observant of what is around you. So you begin looking all over the walls for anything that stands out. And then you start to try different things until you find clues or puzzles to solve. And Amy and I did this escape room once where after we made it through the first few rooms, we come to this part where they separate you. And so one person goes through the door, the other person has to stay out. So I go through the door and it's pitch black inside. I can't see anything. But yet somehow you have to find all of the clues in the dark. So I'm just blindly touching everything. It was extremely difficult. And I can't help but get the similar image when I think about what Paul is saying. I hear him saying that the meaning of life is simple. The goal and things we do are very simple. All we need is knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And then we will do God's will. We just follow those steps. It's an easy process. But the problem is that we are in the darkness. It's like we're in this pitch black room. And the answers to everything we need are scattered throughout the room, but yet we cannot see them because we are in the dark. So we cannot possibly do what we need to do until we are set free from this darkness. We need somebody to turn on the lights so we can see. We are in need of rescue, which is what Paul says as we read here in verse 13, he says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." We were in darkness, but then we were rescued. We were brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves, which is Jesus Christ. And at the end of the verse before this, verse 12, Paul refers to this kingdom as the kingdom of light. And so once we were in the kingdom of darkness, but then we were rescued and brought into the kingdom of light. But there is more. There is something that Paul seems to be alluding to with the words that he's using here. There are two key words that he uses. The first is rescued, and the second is redeemed, which he says in the next verse. And those are the same words found in the Greek version of the Old Testament for the story of Moses and the Israelites being set free from Pharaoh. In the book of Exodus, God appears to Moses and says that he has a plan to rescue and redeem the Israelites. They are held captive in Egypt as slaves to Pharaoh, but God has a plan to use Moses to set them free. And once they are free from captivity, God's plan then is to redeem them, which means to buy back or to take back. So God's plan for them is to take them from the place of darkness and bring them into the promised land. What's interesting, though, about this story is that God did not immediately take them from slavery, this place of darkness, to the promised land. They weren't ready for that. They had a journey that they had to go through, both physically and spiritually. They had to travel through this wilderness, this desert. It was a process designed to prepare them for what was to come. They needed to learn how to trust in God, to rely on His provision. They needed to be set apart, made holy, in order to be a blessing for the other nations and to prepare the world for the eventual coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And while on this journey, they lived in this odd space. It was a space between the past life of darkness and slavery and in between this new life of the promised land. They found themselves in between. And while in between, there were lots of struggles, lots of temptations to return to the old lifestyle, the old way of living or walking. But at the same time, they were given a taste of God's goodness, a taste of God's provision, a taste of his presence among them, a taste of what the future would be like. But that in-between space was difficult for them. And it's kind of like what we are in right now. We have the hope of a future of heaven, but we also still have all of the struggles of the life of darkness that is still around us. We're given a taste of the kingdom of God that is here and now with us, but there is still this power, this bondage of sin that is all around us. It's like we are still in the room of darkness, but God begins to turn on a little light, allowing us to start seeing the clues of wisdom that are on the walls around us. And even though the Israelites, even though they're on their way, this journey to the new place, and even though they have been set free, they still complain about it. They often tell Moses and God how they wish they had never been rescued. They wish they were still slaves, still in the dominion of darkness, because that was easier. And the truth is that people go through the exact same thing today. Following Christ can be hard. Sometimes it is easier to give up, to return to the life of darkness, to walk away from the challenges, or walk away from a local church when things get difficult. There is this temptation to return in some way to the life you knew, even though that life was filled with pain. Or there's temptation to go back to this, and so you're trying to balance both worlds, where we experience a little bit of Christ while also still holding on to some of those sinful actions of the old world of darkness. And we try to stay true to the path of light, but temptations are all around us. This darkness is around everywhere we look. And often there are people living in the darkness, and they appear like they are having more fun than we are, and they don't understand why we choose to live in the light instead of the dark. This is what Paul is writing about. He wants the people to step into the light and remain strong. He wants to make sure that they don't give up, that they don't complain, that they don't fall back into the old life of darkness. So he gives us these steps, a formula, if you will, to stay strong, to stay on the path of walking like Jesus. And if we back up to verse 3, we begin to see the steps, this formula to follow. Paul writes, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." Paul heard about their faith in Jesus, and that caused him to give thanks. And the reason that he can give thanks is because they have faith and hope and love. And he says that they have, verse 5, he says they have the hope that is stored up for them in heaven. And this hope provides them with the faith in Christ and the love for all of God's people. And these three things together are growing fruit. And it all began with hearing the good news of Christ, but not just hearing it. The end of verse 6 adds, "and truly understanding God's grace." So they hear the message of Christ, and then they truly understand it. According to Paul, that right there gave them, verse 5, the hope that is stored up in heaven. And this is the hope that, verse 5, the faith and love spring from. We can begin to see this development. It started with first hearing the news of Jesus Christ, which is that Jesus Christ died for you, and through his death, he paid the ransom for you. He rescued you from slavery. He redeemed you from the darkness, and he brings us into the kingdom of light. And once we hear that message and then truly begin to understand what it actually means for us, then we begin to have hope in Christ, hope for of a future, hope of a better way of life. And that hope gives us faith, which then causes us to love God and love others. And then Paul continues with verse 9. He says, for this reason, meaning because of all of this, because of the hope and the faith and the love and their willingness to stay strong, because of all of this, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. These Christians, this church has hope and faith and love because they understand what Christ has done for them. And then Paul says that he prays for God to fill them. Now, this is really important to point out. It's not the people that fill themselves. It is God that does the work of the filling. I mentioned earlier that it's like us filling up our gas tank to continue on this journey, but we are not the ones that fill up our own tank. Jesus has paid that price. And with gas prices, that's a good thing. Jesus already paid for that for us. It is God that does the work of filling us. And what does he fill us with? He fills us with the knowledge of his will. It means that we know God, and knowing God transforms us from the inside out. It is this knowledge that allows us to develop a lifestyle that bears the image of Christ. God fills us with this knowledge of him and his will, but also with all of the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives. It all comes from God. Skip to verse 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It is Jesus that did the work. It is Jesus that redeemed and rescued. It was not the Colossian church. Those people, they didn't do anything to be set free. They were in the darkness until Jesus Christ set them free. It is God that does the work of filling our gas tanks so that we can continue on this journey. It is Jesus Christ that gets all the credit here. It is God's will and his work that caused us to be able to follow his will, which is the point that Paul is making. Our mission in this life is to live a life that is worthy of the Lord. And that is only possible because of the Lord, who sets us free, who strengthens us and gives us what we need to continue walking in the way of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. God gets the credit. All we have to do is walk the journey. And Paul explains how we do this, how we walk this way. He says in verse 10, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Again, we see the work of God here, the work of Christ. God, through the Holy Spirit, fills us with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. He strengthens us according to his power and his glorious might. God has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. We were once in the dominion of darkness, but now we can enter into the kingdom of light. But again, we live in this in-between space where we still live in this world, this dominion of darkness, but yet we are no longer bound by chains to it. We are set free. So we're on this journey toward the kingdom of light while living in the kingdom of light right now. We have a taste of the future light because the kingdom of heaven has broken through and shines light upon us wherever we go. So even though we are still in this dark room, we have enough light to see the clues of wisdom on the walls, to see the answers that guide us. It begins with God as the source of provision. He rescued us, he redeemed us, and he gives us what we need through the Holy Spirit. So step one, this first step that we take on this journey is what we've already covered. We just receive these gifts from God. We trust in the Lord. We rely on what the Spirit gives us. We step into this light. And when we do that, we embrace this gift. And when we begin to learn more and understand more, we walk better. We live better. And that naturally leads us to step two. And step two is that we produce fruit. Verse 10 says that as we live this way, we begin bearing fruit in every good work, which then causes us to grow in the knowledge of God. And as we continue to grow in the knowledge of God, then we will be, verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So as we know and understand God, step one, and do the will of God, step two, fruit is produced in us that causes us to increase in the knowledge of God, which then strengthens the power of God within us, allowing us to grow, verse 11, endurance and patience, which causes us to, verse 12, give joyful thanks to the Father. We receive the free gift from Christ. That is the knowledge of his will. And then we take a step forward, walking in his will, the life that is worthy of the Lord. And as we do that, God grows fruit in our life that leads to more understanding. And then God continues to strengthen us, causing us to have more endurance and patience, all while giving thanks back to God. I can't help but think about the process of a plant. Think of the life of a tree for a moment. A tree begins as a seed. And where does the seed live? Underground, buried in the soil, in the darkness, not even knowing that light exists. But then the seed begins to grow. It sprouts, and it does the hard work of pushing its way through the soil until it finally breaks through the surface, and it experiences light for the first time. It has now been set free from the dominion of darkness. But the journey for this tree is not over. In many ways, it has just begun. Even though this tree now lives in the kingdom of light, there are still many dangers around. There are birds and animals that can come destroy it. There are weather conditions that can kill it. But the sun and water continue to grow this sprout, this plant, and strengthen it so that it can endure life. The tree begins to grow a strong trunk. And eventually, as the journey continues, it grows leaves and then fruit. We begin our lives in the dominion of darkness. Some people know that there is a light, but some people have no idea. And God has made a way for us to break through the soil to enter into this kingdom of light. And as we do that, God will grow us, he will strengthen us, and he will produce the fruit in our lives. Now, this doesn't mean that life will be easy. The life of a tree still has to endure all of the storms that come. But with the power of Christ within us, we can not only survive, but we can thrive. Our mission is to live like Christ. It is to walk a life that is worthy of the Lord, which is possible because of God and the work that God does within us. And the path is to simply continue knowing God, which happens as we love Him and love others. If we love God and we love others, we begin to know God more. And by knowing God more, that produces this strength in us. God then continues to fill us with more wisdom, with more understanding, with more knowledge. Can you see the cycle that is created here? It all begins with God, and it ends with God. And in the middle is us, faithfully taking one step at a time closer to Him. May we be a church, a people that loves God and loves others, that continually desires to know God, that continues to grow in the Lord, producing fruit. Pray with me. God, we give you glory and thanks for rescuing us and redeeming us from the dominion of darkness. God, you have set us free. You've given us a taste and a glimpse of your kingdom of light. But God, we are still living in this world. So I ask that you would strengthen us, that you would grow in us a strong tree trunk that can withstand the storms of life that come. God, keep us on this narrow road toward you. Keep us free from the temptations of life around us, from the temptations to complain and return to our old way of living. God, give us the desire to desire more of you. Give us the desire to know you more. God, I ask that you would fill us with your Spirit and that you would send us out of here to continue on this journey together as one community. May we be strengthened together as we not only leave this church, but as we return back to our homes, scattered all around the world. May you ignite a fire in us that we bring with us to our places to ignite your flame there as well. God, we pray this in your wonderful and mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you will take what you heard and use that to offer the restoring hope of Christ to those around you.